This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Carbach Brewing. This is the Charlie Polillo Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Presented by Tri-Eagle Energy. Here's Charlie Polillo.
The MLB on TBS theme takes us back in. Game 5 tonight. Game 6, to be determined. To discuss Ron Darling, who has fond memories from his playing career of League Championship Series in Houston. I'll probably get to that at the end, but oh my goodness, working the telecast with Brian Anderson. Ron, Charlie, on location today, I much appreciate the time. And you know what, that Brewers-Dodgers series, pretty compelling over in the National League, but I bet you and Mr. Anderson must be thinking, man, we drew the long straw getting to call this thing. Unbelievable to this point, huh?
Yeah, well, we have. It's been an amazing series. Both teams, although the Red Sox are up 3-1, it doesn't always feel that way because, you know, the Astros have had some amazing moments, too. They're just, I guess, occasionally you get two teams that are just so close in talent and managers and organizations that it's just fun to do.
All right, raging within this city, of course, this morning, the Altuve Betts play in the first inning. Your perspective after having slept on it?
Yeah, well, you know, I still feel the same way I did when I saw it. And what happens when you're in the booth and you have to make the call is not only am I watching the play unfold, but I'm also in my peripheral vision watching Joe West. So my impression was as soon as it left the bat of Altuve, it had the trajectory to be a home run. It was going to be in the stands. Save for one of the most athletic plays I've ever seen by a right fielder, Mookie Betts, who got up to a level I didn't know he could get up to get into the play and have a chance to make the play. Now, you know, when I saw that, and then I looked at Joe West, and Joe West called fan interference, I knew that was going to be an issue because once he calls it fan interference, then you need some kind of a camera angle to disprove that. If he had called it a home run, it would have been a home run. It wouldn't have changed that. The problem we had for TBS is we have a camera down the right field line that would have shot and really shown whether Mookie Betts had gone in the stands. I don't think the fans, in my opinion, I don't think the fans interfered. I think they stayed kind of right where they were in their seats and were just trying to catch a baseball like anyone else did and inadvertently kind of touched the glove of Mookie Betts. But our camera down the right field line was blocked, ironically, by a security guy who had gotten up and was like any other fan trying to see the play. And literally his entire back, the word security, blocked the entire camera because that camera would have caught and it would have given Chelsea the real look of whether Betts went into the stands or if the fans were part of the play.
And as a result, Ron, agree that there was no conclusivity available. Betts didn't get to the wall, time it, and leap. He's into his leap before he gets to the wall, so it's just impossible to tell the angle as he's reaching back. Kind of like in football, does the ball break the plane of the goal line if we extend the wall up vertically? So many angles, but just not that one. Security guy doing his job and probably as a fan just peeking along the wall.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much. You know, I think in this gotcha kind of world that we live in, we want to find someone at fault here. And I don't know if there's anyone at fault. I mean, from the angle Joe West had, he had the same angle I had from the booth. And there's no way he can see from that angle whether Mookie Betts is over the fence, in front of the fence, or what the fans are doing. It was just an impossible play. And when you think about it, it was a 50-50 call for him. He called it interference. If he had called it a home run, it would have been a home run. It just there wasn't enough evidence to change it. But, boy, that game last night was the equivalent of I remember pitching and having the bases loaded with no outs for 9 innings. I mean, that kind of was like the game, how it went.
So as we point to tonight, or the Astros certainly can take solace in having Verlander as they pitch an elimination game. What do you make of David Price heating it up in the ninth inning, and now he makes the start on 3 days rest tonight?
Yeah, I don't know exactly how he's going to be able to pull that off, other than maybe having a shorter outing. We all got to see him warming up. He was throwing, you know, 105% of what he throws, so he had a maximum warm up, and now is going to have to come back today. I think he's going to play a smaller part in the game. I think if everything went perfect, he'd get into the fourth or fifth inning. But you know, really, this is Verlander's game. Verlander, since he's come to the Astros, is in September and October is 14-1. In the postseason, he's 6-1. To me, he's really their generation, his generation, John Smoltz. He's a guy that you would trust with any big game, and I would expect him to have another amazing effort tonight and get this series back to Boston.
As Cora went to Kimbrel for a six-out save, what were you thinking? And he is just a disaster on the mound right now. He survived that. He didn't save it.
Yeah, he did survive. He didn't save it. I thought that, you know, what happened last night, and we've seen it throughout the postseason, and not only with Cora but AJ, is that every manager is getting to a point now in the postseason that they're pushing their players to do stuff they've never done before. And my history of players being pushed to do stuff they've never been before is usually a recipe for disaster. And in some ways, when you think about how Kimbrel pitched last night, it's amazing that that the Astros did not win that game, or at least tie it in that ninth inning. He just he probably, I don't know how many pitches he threw, 30. He maybe threw five good ones, and the rest was a lot of great patience by the Astros hitters, a lot of great execution, and then a guy that you move up to the leadoff spot gets the last whack at him, hits a line drive, and you know, the play of the century for the Red Sox to end the game is made by Benintendi.
Talking with Ron Darling, working the ALCS for TBS. Game 5, first pitch a little earlier tonight, 7:09. Ron, every game in a best of seven, it is precious. So I'm not suggesting Alex Cora goes in thinking, hey, we have two in our hip pocket at Fenway. But if Verlander is on and the Astros get a moderate early lead, if you're managing Boston, are you mindful of relievers? You do have the off day tomorrow. But taxing guys 3 days in a row and being mindful that, well, Chris Sale might not go terribly deep in game six if there is a game six. If, say, the Astros are up 4-1 in the fifth, sixth inning, do you weigh using guys like Kelly and Brazier and Barnes as opposed to others?
You know, Charlie, I think you make a great point. I think you're going to see guys like Workman, Hembry, Eduardo Rodriguez in this ball game. Absolutely. Now, I don't think Alex is going to manage this with thinking, hey, we've got a distinct advantage, because I think that would be a big mistake. If Verlander delivers, which I think everyone believes he will, I really think that the Astros have a real good shot to get this to a seventh game and to win it because of the people that they're going to be throwing on the mound. You know, I know Gerrit Cole was sitting in the bullpen, but he didn't warm up. You got Verlander tonight. You got Cole on Saturday and Keuchel on Sunday. There really is a large window for them to get back in this. I think Alex Cora knows that. I think the Boston organization knows that. So even though they have the 3-1 lead, I would say it's more tentative 3-1 lead than many I've seen in the past.
Someone obviously has to win a best of seven. Ron, from what you've seen, you feel like this is a best of 162? Well, we'd have to have a winner. Best of 163, it's 82-81, that this is Ollie Frazier in their primes?
Oh, I just think that, you know, I think with all the storylines, with Alex being the bench coach last year for the World Championship Astros, you know, the great year that, you know, franchise record for both teams, 108 victories, 103 for the Astros, you know, the pitching that the Astros had this year was, you know, in a year of bullpenning and openers, they did it the old-fashioned way with some really great starting pitching. You know, it's just one of those, I think, magical kind of series that I would not be surprised goes seven games. Verlander's got to take care of business tonight, but it's a long way from the Red Sox getting the pennant.
Again, best out of seven. Any team can beat any other team, but how substantial a favorite will you see the winner of this series over the Dodgers or Brewers?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, I would have to give whoever comes out of this the other team, the Brewers or the Dodgers, will be the underdog to this team. That being said, you know how this goes in October. The team that's playing the best and playing their best baseball is the team that's going to move on. The Dodgers are starting to roll right now. Kershaw pitches one of his best games in the postseason. He's going to be well rested if they win it in Milwaukee for game one. I just you have to give the edge to these American League teams because of their great 162-game season.
Lastly, on the list of all-time epic playoff series, you pitched in several, 1986 National League Championship Series. If I had to say to you the first two or three flashpoint memories of Mets-Astros 86 that jump to mind, where do you take us?
Well, to this day, and I include the game I did last night in the booth, that's game six that went 16 innings to me is the greatest game that I never was involved in. I was supposed to pitch the next night against Mike Scott, which might not have been a great thing for me. But just watching that game, and the thing I'll always, always remember, that Astrodome was full, and anyone that ever was in that Astrodome knows how big it was, and it was full, and I'll never forget when Bob Knepper came out for the ninth inning, and to start that inning, people in the stands, and I'm talking about the entire stands, so 55,000 people were standing, and they did not sit down from the ninth inning to the 16th inning. It was one of the great displays of fans being totally into a game. The Mets ended up winning the World Series that year, but geez, Astros could have been there. The Red Sox, of course, could have beat the Mets. It was just, we were so close for a lot of the reasons that these teams are very close. You know, Ryan and Scott and Gooden and, you know, all the pitching, all the star power. It just, I'll remember that series as the best game I've ever seen.
Well, Ron, I'm a Long Island boy, so I remember it crystal clearly. Ron Darling working the ALCS on TBS Game 5 tonight, maybe Game 6 and 7, Saturday and Sunday. Really enjoy your work there and on MLB Network. I'm a big fan of level-headedness. Much appreciate the time again, Ron, and see you at the ballpark.
Thanks, Charlie. Anytime.
Very much. Thank Ron Darling for his time. A break to catch up. We're a little bit late, but that's okay. We were talking important stuff there. And then pretty much all Astros, Red Sox, the rest of this hour. I mean, why not? I guess I can touch briefly again on the Rockets. But Verlander and David Price clearly advantage Astros tonight. They need to go get the job done. And if they do, then everyone's back up to Boston, where it's going to be cold this weekend.
Never go back to the AM dial.
Your home for sports is only on FM.
With ESPN 97.5.
And Sports Map 94.1.